Stunning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the King. And we pray that as we come to consider his words this morning, you would help us to have ears to hear. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. A couple of weeks ago, we had a visit from my sister and her family. Now, my 7-year-old nephew has become totally obsessed by lifeboats. Benny's now a member of the RNLI Young Members, and he could tell me quick as a flash that the RNLI is about saving lives at sea. And he was very keen to get a glimpse of the Humber Rescue lifeboat before heading off back to South Yorkshire. Well, our Bible readings this morning from the New Testament spoke about a very well-known character in the Old Testament, Noah, and the way in which Noah's Ark was, in some sense, a place of rescue. Noah was a man of faith who saved his family by enabling them to enter the lifeboat that was the Ark. Noah was, if you like, the first in a long line of lifeboat captains or coxswains. But when you think about it, there are two sorts of lifeboats. There are those that are kept at lifeboat stations dotted around the coast, like the Humber Rescue or the one at Spurn Point. And there are those that are fitted to ships, so that if a ship begins to sink, the passengers and crew are able to clamber to safety in those boats rather than to drown. However, there is one famously tragic event in history when this did not happen. It's a disaster that will be especially remembered in a few days' time. April 2012, if you didn't know, marks the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. Now, there's been a new 4-part ITV drama about it by Downton Abbey writer Julian Fellowes. And, of course, it was given a high profile 15 years or so ago with the launch of the film starring Kate Winslet. It was on the night of April the 14th and 15th, 1912, that the British luxury passenger liner sank on its maiden voyage from Southampton to New York. Over 1,500 people died on that night. Now, I'm grateful to our Archdeacon, David Butterfield, for suggesting that what we read in our Gospel reading shows that there is, in fact, a parallel between the passengers on the Titanic and our lives today. Matthew 24, which is on page 1,000 of the Church Bibles, contains words spoken by Jesus in that week between the first Palm Sunday and his crucifixion and resurrection. And as we look at Matthew 24, we see firstly that many people say there's nothing to worry about. Now, of course, the Titanic was something of a floating palace. Life on board was very comfortable, at least for those with money. All that the passengers needed to concern themselves with was their comfort aboard the ship. The only questions that would have occupied their minds would have been ones like, what shall we select from the menu for our evening meal? Or shall we go to the dance floor or the dining room? And there was nothing to worry about because the ship, the product of the latest technology, was believed to be unsinkable. The ship's designers had been so confident of this that although there were 2,200 people on board, only spaces for just over 1,000 people had been provided in the lifeboats. The idea of the ship sinking would have been the last thing on the minds of the passengers and as that liner steamed across the Atlantic that night. In their minds, there was no reason whatsoever to think that what could happen to them was anything other than a comfortable journey, certainly not any concerns about sinking. There's nothing to worry about. Well, reminding his hearers about Noah's time in past history, Jesus said that, in fact, Noah's days are a foreshadowing of days in the future. So we read verse 38 of Matthew 24. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. Now for many, this is like life today, just going on as normal. Yes, with a few ups and downs, financial crises and so on, but life is fairly comfortable for most people in our country. Most have enough to eat and drink. We have clothes to wear, somewhere to live. We have schools and hospitals and doctor surgeries to attend to our various needs. There's no need to think much beyond this life? And as far as the deeper questions of life are concerned, well, people either believe life on this earth is all there is, when you're dead, so eat, drink and be merry now, or people believe in some sort of life beyond death that might include going to heaven or somewhere, but that'll just happen, so we don't need to think much about it. As Jesus implies, people often say, there's nothing to worry about. Well, as we look at Jesus' words in those days after that first Palm Sunday, we also see that in fact our days are numbered. At 12 noon on Wednesday the 10th of April 1912, a triple blast of the ship's horn sounded across Southampton Harbour. The ship's lines were cast off and five tugs gently edged the huge vessel into the main channel. What 1,500 of the people who got on board at Southampton or later in France or Ireland didn't know was that their days were numbered. As the ship left Southampton, over 1,500 people had only 4.5 days to live. At 11:39 on Sunday night, April the 14th, an iceberg was spotted. And from that moment, those 1,500 people only had about 3 hours to live. They would either freeze to death or drown. None of those poor people knew it. The iceberg ruptured 5 of the 16 watertight compartments, and the ship eventually sank at 2:20 a.m. on Monday morning, April the 15th. Your days are numbered. Well, Jesus' serious words that we read from Matthew's Gospel show us that we all need to remember that that is very much the case for us. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. See, the truth is that our days are numbered. None of us knows when Jesus is going to return as king, as he promised he will. And indeed, his return will be sudden and unexpected, as those little stories that Jesus told in the reading illustrate. Do you remember the two men in the field? One is taken, one is left. Two women grinding at the mill, one is taken, one is left. So Jesus says, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. And none of us knows precisely when our time on earth will come to an end, if that comes before Jesus returns. As the playwright George Bernard Shaw famously put it, death is the ultimate statistic. One out of one dies. Our days are numbered. But finally, in the light of Jesus' words, we should hear his call to come aboard. I wonder if you knew that 711 people who were on board the Titanic that night were saved. At some point during that momentous night, someone in the lifeboat gave each of those people the privileged invitation, come aboard. Now, at first, it may have seemed unnecessary to have put up with the cold and inconvenience of getting it into a lifeboat after the warmth and comfort of the ship, especially at first when there may have been no obvious signs that there was any problem. And yet, it wouldn't be long before they realised that being aboard a lifeboat was the difference between life and death. No one could be saved by using their own ingenuity. Clinging to debris in the water was no help. And even though the Cunard liner, the Carpathia, arrived just over an hour after the Titanic went down, it was too late to prevent over 1,500 people losing their lives. There was a need to respond to the call, come aboard. Well, at the start of Matthew's Gospel, we hear the angel tell Jesus' earthly father that he should name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. In an even more serious way than those passengers on the Titanic, we are all in desperate need of rescue, of being saved. You see, we've all turned away from God. We all have sins that cut us off from God, and we're in danger. We need someone to rescue us, to save us. And Jesus is the only one who can do that. As Easter reminds us, saving us through his sin-bearing death and victorious resurrection. And Jesus invites us all. He says to me and you, come aboard. It's as though Jesus is there in his lifeboat inviting you and me to come aboard. And once aboard, we know that forgiveness and eternal life is guaranteed. Well, Jesus made clear that in the light of his return as king, or the end of our lives in this world, we shall need to have been rescued if we're to be safe for eternity. But like those who have relied on their ingenuity and clung to debris in the freezing water all those years ago, we might like to think that we can rely on our own cleverness, our own religious practices, our own decent life, our own ideas. We may think that we can trust in our own theories and philosophies of life, but Jesus makes it clear that we can't save ourselves from our biggest problem, our sins. And yet we can be rescued by him, depending on what he has done that first Easter. Earlier in Matthew's Gospel, we hear Jesus' famous words as we repeat them in our communion services week by week. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, says Jesus, and find the help that you most need. Come aboard my lifeboat, and you will find rescue and forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Now, the difference between the Jesus lifeboat and the Titanic's lifeboats is that there's plenty of room. And what's more, everyone is invited. He says to you and he says to me, come aboard, come to me, believe in me, rely on my death and resurrection to bring you forgiveness and life more as it's meant to be. Now, the people who were rescued from the Titanic would not have been saved just by believing that one of the lifeboats could save them. There could have been passengers that night that believed the lifeboat was a good idea, but of course, unless they actually got into one of the boats, their belief about lifeboats would have been useless. Well, the same is true with Jesus' lifeboat. It's not just enough to believe in Jesus. It's not enough just to believe that he existed. We need to come aboard, to commit ourselves to the one who can rescue us. We come aboard the Jesus lifeboat when we invite Christ into our lives by his Spirit. Jesus says to us, you must be ready. So have you ever got on board Jesus' lifeboat? And if you have, are you continuing to hold fast to his promises that he has saved you and that he will give you eternal rest? Well, there are many true stories about that fateful night in April 2012. Maybe we'll hear more as the coming days mark the centenary. Well, one of my favourite Titanic stories concerns a church minister who was on board that night. His name was John Harper, and he was a member of a flourishing church in Glasgow. As he struggled in the icy sea, John Harper gave someone else his life jacket. He knew that he and those around him didn't have long to live, so he explained to a fellow Scotsman nearby how he should put his faith in Jesus Christ, how he should, as it were, get into the Jesus lifeboat. Well, John Harper sank beneath the waves, but the man he had spoken to survived. And later, he stood up in a church in Hamilton, in Canada, and said this. There, alone in that night, and with 2 miles of water under me, I believed. I am John Harper's last convert. And to this day, there is a Harper Memorial Church in Glasgow. Well, that young Scotsman was, if you like, saved twice that night. He was saved once because he eventually got on board a lifeboat, and he reached dry land and went to live out his life on this earth for many more years. But what's more important is that he was saved a second time. Because John Harper shared the gospel message with him and he responded to the invitation of Jesus to come aboard his lifeboat, at that moment he was served for eternal life. Well, as we hear Jesus' words spoken soon after that first Palm Sunday, we realize that many people falsely say there's nothing to worry about. The truth is rather that our days are numbered. Jesus is returning as king. The question is, will we personally take up the offer of Coxswain Jesus? Will we come aboard his lifeboat and receive the rescue from sins that his death on the cross makes possible? And if we have, will we stand firm in that reality? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that even though we have, by our own devices, got ourselves into such a terrible mess before you, that in your grace you have provided this way of rescue through your Son. This wonderful truth that is at the heart of what we believe about Easter. And Father, we pray that you would help us, if we haven't yet, come and receive that forgiveness that we need through Christ. Help us to do that. And if we have, Father, help us to be strengthened in that reality, even though we live in a world where most people ignore this reality. Help us to stand firm in Christ, relying on your great and precious promises. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.